taking a closer look at the stories that affect you most with a big dose of common sense.
Welcome to my breakdown. I hope I didn't scare you. That's just the way we are when we come down.
Well, it's free for all Friday. So many big stories come down that it's hard to, you know, pick one to focus on, and you just can't, because if you did, you'd ignore, you know, half a dozen other big stories pretty much on a daily basis. My next guest knows that. Charlotte Hayes, the director of cultural programs from the Independent Women's Forum. Charlotte, welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me. Good morning.
It's always so good to hear your cheery Southern accent. I love it.
Well, I don't have any other accent. I go to Southern Burlitz classes to keep it.
That's my girl. That's the spirit. All right, so the big story here that hasn't got as much attention as it should have, it did for 24 hours, but then it kind of faded because of so much else going on. But the Kate Steinle verdict was unbelievable. But now, I heard one of the alternate jurors on another program and say, listen, the reason we couldn't get to manslaughter is because it was strictly for brandishing a weapon. The way the prosecutor presented the case was so specific that if they didn't find that the guy was brandishing the weapon, I mean, like, and that means waving it around and pointing it at people and making chaos, which he didn't do. They said, under the law, we couldn't prosecute him or convict him. And his conviction, his opinion was the conviction was missed because the prosecutor was too specific. Does that make sense to you?
No. Jury charges are very important. But I think what happened here is something else, Steve. I mean, I think we're really at an inflection point with regard to our institutions serving their legitimate purposes as opposed to partisan ones. And I think antagonism to President Trump was probably behind this verdict. Even a jury nowadays, believes that delivering a message to President Trump is more important than getting justice for Kate Steinle. Yet we don't know the deliberations in the jury room. The guy might have been telling the truth about what happened. But look, Zarate, and I'm mispronouncing his name, the illegal immigrant in whose hands was the gun that killed Kate Steinle, got off scot-free. Now, he may end up being in jail from the feds for another offense. But here's the deal. The defense attorney, when the verdict was announced, regarded it as an opportunity to stick it to President Trump.
Well, yeah, I heard that guy. That guy was just a clown, but
it was just terrible.
But here's something else I learned.
He said, you know, that this case has been used to stir up hatred, foment hatred. Look, this case has been used, but not to stir up hatred, unless you say hatred against President Trump. It's a legitimate case to talk about illegal immigration. It would be insane if we didn't use this case to talk about illegal immigration. The guy says, I just got to quote this, Steve. It's so amazing. Here's what the guy said when the verdict was read. From day one, this case was used as a means to foment hate, to foment division, to foment a program of mass deportation. It was used to catapult the presidency along that philosophy of hate of others. It wasn't used for hate. It was a legitimate discussion about immigration. And by the way, this had nothing to do with Kate Steinle. The lawyer for the winning side said this, not me. This was a political verdict. And what worries me is that the courts are not the only institution that's become totally that we believe to have become too politicized. I mean, we're looking at the FBI conducting an investigation. We now find out how politicized that may have been. The IRS was politicized, and we don't even yet know what the testimony of Lois Lerner, who was responsible for the who we believe to be responsible for the targeting of Tea Party groups.
Sure.
We really have institutions from Hollywood and now the courts that are totally politicized, or I think are politicized, or animated by animosity against the president.
No, well, you know, I think there's a lot to what you just said. Something else the juror said that I think that is important to note. He said they were never made aware of what I consider to be, you know, germane facts to the case. One, that this man had been deported 5 times. And two, maybe more important, he was a 7-time convicted felon. 7-time convicted felon. The jury not allowed to hear those facts.
Well, actually, Well, I think the fact that he is an illegal alien, and that's what I call them. I don't call them undocumented. I call them illegal aliens. I think, in a way, the question before the jury was his responsibility in Kate Steinle's death. And I can see why you would withhold that kind of information. It is relevant, you know, in the public arena. But the question is whether or not he really killed her. If he hadn't been here, he wouldn't have killed her. That's even if it were an accident.
And by his own admission, Zarate,
he killed her.
Well, no. He did kill her. There's no question about that. He pulled the trigger. Did he intend to kill her specifically? No, the bullet ricocheted and he killed her. It is manslaughter at a minimum. That part's
right.
True.
It's involuntary
but here's the point. Here's the point you have
minimum.
To hear.
And it also, he was indifferent. I think it obviously, look, it met the standards of involuntary manslaughter. Whether or not he was brandishing the gun or simply holding it, he and his story has been so contradictory. I think this was a case about sanctuary cities.
That's exactly what it is. And here's the point.
Woman.
Here's the point you have to take home that people don't seem to hear or understand. The reason that Jose Inez Garcia Zarate was in San Francisco, he told the investigators he came to San Francisco because it's a sanctuary city. That's why he was there in the first place, because he said the laws made it easy to fly under the radar and not be bothered.
And that's why he is the legitimate poster boy for a discussion of sanctuary cities and illegal aliens.
You know, but you just saying that of course makes you a bigot and something else and so on and so forth. The fact of the matter is, safe, secure borders create sovereign nations. And I'm not into this one world government nonsense that I see people talking about on television and open borders and so forth. That doesn't work. That's insanity, and I'll have nothing to do with it.
Well, look, we are a sovereign nation, and we have the right to determine who comes into our borders, who becomes citizens. And I think we can do better than have a seven-time felon become a citizen.
Well, I agree with that, and I think that we need to go... You know, Donald Trump talks about merit-based immigration. And, of course, he gets called all the names. That, you know, pull out the playbook. Here are all the names that they call you. For. The fact of the matter is, it always used to be merit-based. If you came here and you were a doctor, you were an architect, you were a laborer that had skills in carpentry, whatever it may be, you come here with a set of skills that would lend themselves well to being a productive citizen of the United States of America. We encourage that. We want you to come here, raise a family here, and be part of what we call America, the fabric of people from all over the world. But this whole idea that we just let anybody in...
Do you realize why the Democrats are so crazy about the idea of letting just anybody in? Because they think they can make them Democratic voters. This is called importer vote.
Yeah, and they talk about the uneducated white vote, Democrats do, when they talk about how Donald Trump was elected.
What they regard as the uneducated working class. Now, given what our universities are turning out now, I would like to refer to the uneducated educated class.
Yeah, well, I realize that the Democrats are, well, they're off the mark on that one. You're not, Charlotte, you're not, and I appreciate you being here. I hope you have a great weekend.
You too.
All right, Charlotte Hayes, Director of Cultural Programs at the Independent Women's Forum. You know, the Kate Steinle case lost somewhere in all the conversations, you know, buried back there. You know what else is buried? The Las Vegas shooting. Worst mass shooting in American history. Whatever happened to that story? What happened? Where's the report? What's the truth? Why are we being kept in the dark? Just something to think about. 41 after.
You know secondhand smoke is a health risk. When you see someone smoking or you smell smoke, you avoid it. Did you know the second leading cause of lung cancer cannot be seen, smelled, or tasted? It's radon gas. It may cause over 600 new lung cancers in Michigan this year. And the only way to know you're safe from radon is to have your home tested. 1 in 8 Michigan homes test positive for dangerous levels of radon gas. Call 1-800-RADON-GAS to learn more about radon and having your home tested. This message sponsored by the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality and the Michigan Association of Broadcasters.
I'm Warren Birkenhauer, proud IBEW member. My career began as a non-union electrician. I love the work, not the pay and the lack of benefits. When I joined the IBEW, my life changed. Now I earn great wages, benefits, and I'll be able to have a good retirement. I can take care of my family the way I want to, and that matters to me. The IBEW has made a huge difference in my life. If you're a good electrician looking to get paid what you're actually worth, then there's room for you in the IBEW.
Electricians wanted. Visit IBEWMichigan.org. Sponsored by the Michigan Association of Broadcasters and IBEW Michigan.
I want to finish and then go to to be able to and have my parents couldn't have. I'll even make, because I know it's the best thing I can do for my... I want to finish
school
and then go to
college
to be able to
graduate
and have
the future
my parents couldn't have. I'll even make
sacrifices
because I know that
going to college
is the best thing I can do for my
future.
It takes the words of a parent to build the future of a child. The Hispanic Scholarship Fund has the tools and information to help your kids go to college. It's free and it's available in Spanish. Remember, their tomorrow depends on your words today. Visit yourwordstoday.org or call 1-877-HSF-8711. Sponsored by the Hispanic Scholarship Fund and the Ad Council.